Our current sermon series is inspired by Morgan Guyton's book, How Jesus Saves the World from Us, 12 Antidotes to Toxic Christianity. We're calling the series How We Grow as Christians. And today we look specifically at the topic, How We Grow. Let us pray as we begin. God, as we hear your words read and shared, would you open our ears, help us to hear. Free us from distractions around us and within us that we might listen. And above all, God, would you open our hearts that we might be formed and changed by your message. We pray this in the name of Christ. Amen. As you know, I grew up Baptist. I appreciate my Baptist heritage with its strong emphasis on Scripture and a personal relationship with God through Jesus Christ. When I was in seminary, I worked at First Presbyterian Church at White Bear Lake, and I admired their focus on education and how the lay people were ordained to their ministries just as the clergy are ordained. I've served 4 United Methodist churches in addition to this one: Lester Park United Methodist Church here in Duluth as youth director, Lake Harriet in South Minneapolis as associate pastor, Crosswinds in Maple Grove, where I followed the founding pastor, and Minnetonka United Methodist. So my question is this: of all those churches, which church is best? Is it us? Who thinks it's us? I've got a feeling, a pretty strong feeling, that lives have been impacted and the world has been made better because of Temple Baptist Church, First Presbyterian, Lester Park, Lake Harriet, Crosswinds, Minnetonka, Coppertop Church, and so many other churches of various denominations and religions. I've got a feeling that as all of us seek to share the good news of God's love and life with others, that we really are a part of one great movement of God. And that is far more important than what particular church or denomination or religion a person comes from. Would you agree with that? Did you know that for some folks, it is essential to their Christian identity that their beliefs and identity is somehow right and better than other Christian denominations, churches, and religions? Somehow it makes them feel better, more confident about their faith if they see themselves as right and others as wrong, if they see their religion as superior and other people's religion as inferior. Did you know that we are struggling with that in the United Methodist Church right now? In fact, we are struggling with it so much that without some Holy Spirit intervention, it's going to be very difficult for us to stay together as one denomination. One of our strengths, as well as challenges, as a United Methodist Church is that we are a worldwide church. A wonderful benefit of that is we can do wonderful mission and ministry all around the world as we partner together. But a challenge is that it makes coming to an agreed-upon understanding of theological and social issues so much more difficult than if we were simply a United Methodist-based denomination in the United States. In May of 2016, at the meeting of General Conference is our official governing body who alone can make decisions for the global United Methodist Church. Well, at the 2016 gathering, it became clear that our differences around human sexuality, particularly the inclusion of LGBTQ people in the ritual of Christian marriage and as ordained clergy, was so great that the bishops were given a task of putting together a special commission to figure out how we all can live together and do ministry together and stay together amidst our differences. And if they couldn't do that, to come up with options for separation around theological understandings. So 32 people were appointed to be on this commission, representing a variety of theological and social perspectives from all areas of the world of United Methodism. We have a lay representative of the commission from Minnesota, Dave Knuckles. Some of you will remember he was here with us last October, preached in our worship service, and also did a forum. Well, that commission met for a year and a half and recently offered the Council of Bishops possible options for us moving forward as a United Methodist Church. And then on Friday, just 2 days ago, the Council of Bishops announced their recommendation. They are recommending what's called the One Church Plan. This plan encourages a generous unity by giving United Methodists the ability to address different missional contexts in ways that reflect their theological convictions. The One Church Plan does something very crucial. It removes all the restrictive and oppressive language of the Book of Discipline concerning homosexuality, allowing for the full inclusion of LGBTQ people, including in marriage and ordination. But at the same time, it doesn't require pastors and conferences to do so who, due to their theological convictions, do not feel they can perform same-sex weddings or ordain self-avowed practicing homosexuals. And so overall, it's a mixed bag. I want full inclusion for everyone around the entire world. But overall, I see this as a huge step forward. This recommendation will now be brought to General Conference for a specially called meeting in February of 2019. Remember, only General Conference can make the final decision. In the coming weeks, Reverend Marianne and I will be meeting with Bishop O and the clergy around Minnesota a week from Monday, and then we will come back and we will offer an opportunity for those of you who want to know more and understand more to gather together with us, and we will delve more fully into it. I bring up this topic in this sermon partially because I want you to hear what's happening from me rather than from outside sources, but also to help us realize that even in our own United Methodist Church, we have folks of a variety of theological perspectives who believe that they are right and others are wrong, and believe so strongly that they think we need to split apart rather than live together, minister together, wrestle together, learn together, grow together amidst our differences. There's a challenge of people wanting to leave the table rather than staying at the table. And it is in staying at the table where change can really happen. Morgan Guyton, in the chapter I used for today's sermon, talks about how we get diverted from our mission when we begin comparing ourselves with others and competing as to who is right and who is wrong, who is superior and who is inferior. He talks about how we need to let go of our natural desire to build a stadium of followers and instead learn how to walk with each other as pilgrims into the depth of God's kingdom. You see, when we want to have a stadium of followers, we are looking for people to see and believe and understand and act just as we do and find their connections with God by doing it like we have done it. It involves seeing our way as the right way and uniting around our uniformity, even around our superiority. But living in the depths of God's kingdom, living in the depths of God's kingdom, it looks so much different than that. Did you know that Jesus talked about the kingdom of God more than any other topic in Scripture? The kingdom of God is both a present reality and a future promise. It's something yet to come, and it's also something already here. We look with hope to life after death, and we look with hope to fullness of life here. And so we pray in the Lord's Prayer, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done," where? On earth as it is in heaven. Folks, God is here. And so the kingdom of God is here right now. Jesus told many parables about the kingdom of God. He used all kinds of images to describe it. Today's scripture reading is one of those images Jesus used to talk about the kingdom of God. He tells about a sower who is sowing seeds. Some seeds fall on the path, and the birds come and they eat the seed up. Some seeds fall on the rocky ground and they grow up quickly, but because of the lack of depth of the soil, they also quickly die. Other seed fall among thorns and it is choked away, and other seed falls among good soil and it grows. Jesus goes on to explain this parable, telling us that the ground that the seeds fall on determines whether or not growth will happen and how much growth will happen. You see, the source of the seed, the source of all spiritual growth, is God. But the response to the seed, it's varied. It's up to us. It's a reminder to us that when we share our faith with other people, people's hearts are going to be at a variety of stages of readiness and willingness to receive the seed we offer, just as our own hearts are at a variety of stages of readiness and willingness for spiritual growth and transformation. But even more than that, God, like the sower in our story, is constantly sowing seeds in our lives and in the world, no matter how ready we are to receive them. You see, the kingdom of God, it is this constant smorgasbord of seed scattering, of opportunities and invitations that God instigates into our lives and into the lives of all people. Friends, this means that God doesn't sit around waiting until we are ready before God reaches out to us. God is trying to meet us and greet us and reach us wherever our heart, mind, and spirit is. God doesn't care if our soil is rocky. You see, God will keep throwing seeds our way until the rocks start to loosen. And God will do that for other people too. So there is always, always hope. In the United Methodist Church, we talk about this in terms of prevenient grace, meaning God is constantly showering love upon us even before we are ready to receive it. So if God goes before us, reaching out to us with love, that implies a certain openness and compassion that God has in dealing with our flawed attempts to understand who God is. And the truth of the matter is that none of us really and fully understand God. We are all trying to grasp the nature of an infinite God. But if God is like that sower, generously and consciously scattering seeds on the path of even rocks and thorns, if God is doing that, then isn't God going to find a way to enter into my journey and your journey wherever we are and direct us toward truth? And if others on this journey of life see and understand God differently than we do, that doesn't mean that they're the enemy. Nor does it mean that they are completely devoid of truth, and it doesn't mean that we can't serve God together. It means that God is sowing seeds, revealing truth to all of us, and we need to pause and see what God, through Jesus Christ, will do. And I've got to tell you, sometimes it seems like the United Methodist Church is moving oh so slowly. But it is profound, the work of God in the past decade. Can it be? Is it possible that we grow best when we understand that God, through the Holy Spirit, speaks to people in a variety of ways, strategically using all of our differences to spread the gospel to the widest possible audience? And is it possible that we grow best when we don't need to have a one-size-fits-all answer for everyone who seeks to follow God? And if we're really striving to grow, then shouldn't we expect to learn something about God from every single person we meet? And can it be that we grow best when we don't need to try to save other people, but rather scatter seeds on the path, allowing the Spirit of God to invite folks further into God's saving love? And if we are all pilgrims, seeking to live and grow in the kingdom of God, can't we be okay with the fact that God is doing good work in the lives of people who disagree with us? And that one understanding doesn't have to be right and the other wrong in order for us to recognize that the Holy Spirit is working in our lives and in our ministries? I don't know about you, but even as flawed as it is, I want to be a part of a big tent church. A church that welcomes all who are seeking to know, share, and grow in God's grace and follow the way of life of Jesus Christ. I want to grow in faith by inviting, challenging, and encouraging others and being invited, challenged, and encouraged in my own faith by other people. I want to embrace and support all those who are seeking faith, giving special care to those who are being harmed, victimized, and villainized. Don't you too? Beloved ones, friends in Christ, remember this. We have a God who sows the seeds of God's kingdom everywhere, everywhere, among everyone. There is room for all of us in this great kingdom of God where seeds are constantly falling with the invitation to enter in and grow deeper in love of God and in love of others. May it be so. Amen.